The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Well, again, I'm glad to be here this morning. As y'all can see right there, my name is Dakota Glover. I'm 20. I've been doing this probably 2.5 years. I'm in seminary college in New Orleans. And most importantly, I love Jesus. I'm thankful for what he's allowing me to do, what he's calling me to do. And so if y'all would please, we're going to turn our Bibles this morning to John chapter 13. We're going to read two verses, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13. And when you get there, if you would please stand in reverence of God's word. John chapter 13. Starting with verse 34. John chapter 13, 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." Let us pray real quick. Dear Lord, as we come to you today, just thanking you for who you are, for all that you do in our lives, God. We come to you right now, Father, just so thankful for the opportunity we have to come here and to worship you this morning. Lord, I ask you to open our minds and open our hearts to receive what it is you're going to speak to us this morning. I ask, God, you speak through me the words you would have us to hear. Help us to take these words, apply them to our life, God, and just be stronger disciples for you each day. I ask, God, you just forgiven us of our sins. We love you, and it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. First off, I want to say it was a wonderful song service we had this morning. I'm the song leader at our church, and I wish I could sing like that. Amen. And also that last song, Gratitude, I know a guy, he's an older fella, and he didn't get saved till later on in life. And I was talking to him a while back, and every time the song Gratitude comes on, it doesn't matter where he's at or what he's doing, he just stops and throws his hands up. It doesn't matter if it's the middle of Walmart, if he's driving, it's Jesus take the wheel for real moment. But I talked to him, I said, look, I said, y'all know how Baptists are. I mean, we sit in a pew, and if, man, we get the spirits moving, we're tapping our foot. I asked him, I said, how can you raise your hands like that wherever you are? He said, man, he said, Jesus died on the cross for me. The disciples did all kinds of stuff. He said, I think we're just too lazy, and we pick on people for doing stuff that the Spirit leads us to do. So this morning, that's one thing I want us to take from the song service, is when God says, throw up your hands in praise, he means it. And I don't think we should hold anything back. But this morning, what we're going to be looking at is discipleship, something that the biggest problem, I feel like one of the biggest problems facing the church today is that we aren't being disciples, right? This morning, how many of us in here would call ourselves Christians? There'd probably be a lot of hands go up if I asked y'all to raise hands. On the other hand, how many of us would call ourselves disciples? And it may be the same amount, it may not. But too often, I feel like we don't truly grasp what a disciple is, what a disciple is called to do, and that we are disciples in Jesus Christ. And it happens at conversion. It's not a choice you make. It's what you are. And so are you choosing to live the life of a disciple? Are you trying to sit and fill a pew on a Sunday morning and think that's all you're called to do? So this morning, that's what we're going to look at. First off, as I said, one of the problems we have is that there are many Christians but few disciples. And what I mean by this, what does Jesus call his followers? In the Bible, what does Jesus call his followers? He calls them disciples. He calls them apostles. He even calls them brothers. Nowhere, however, does Jesus use the term Christian. Now, I'm not saying that this term is wrong. I'm just saying we need to take a step back and look and not let culture define us. Not let culture tell us what we're supposed to be. That's a huge problem facing the church today, is that we're too focused on what the world says about us. And so we hold back and we forget what God calls us and what God says about us. We find our identity in the things that we do for the world and not in what God is calling us into. So this morning I want us to focus on what God is calling us. And just for a quick second, I want us to look at the uses of the word Christian in the Bible compared to the uses of the word disciple. There are three uses of the word Christian in the Bible, and they're found in Acts 11:26, Acts 26:28, and in 1 Peter 4:16. Acts 11:26 is the first appearance of the term Christian, and it tells us that in Antioch, they began to call themselves Christians because they followed Christ. In fact, the word Christian means follower of Christ. And therefore, this was a giant step for those believers in Antioch who were identifying with Jesus Christ because it caused them great persecution. And the word Christian is derived from the word Christianos. Of course, I doubt I'm saying that correctly. But that means belonging to Christ. But I want y'all to take a quick second when we look, take a step back and look at the entire context of the situation. Many scholars believe that the word Christian at that time was a form of mockery towards people who followed Christ. It was a word that the secular world would call these people. It would label them to help them separate the Christians from the Jews so that they could kill the Christians, because that's what they were doing. Y'all know what Paul was doing whenever, or Saul, back when he was still Saul, when he was on that road to Damascus, he was carrying papers that were saying that they could, and of course I can't remember it exactly correctly, but he was carrying papers to someone telling that they should be killing all Christians. They were setting them aside, and it was like their letter for to allow persecution of Christians is what Saul was doing. And so, when we look at Acts 26 through 28, this is after Saul turns to Paul, and we see where Paul appears before Agrippa and is given a defense against some accusations made against him by some Jewish leaders. And in this defense, Paul takes the opportunity that he has to witness to Agrippa, who was lost. You see, his moment of defense, trying to protect himself from being thrown into jail or even being killed, he turned to a moment where he could witness to a lost soul because he saw sinners in need of a loving God. And that's what we should be saying to people today. It doesn't matter what situation you're in. You should be looking for opportunities to share the gospel and not be lazy and not think that they're not good enough to share the gospel with. And so, after Paul shares the gospel with Agrippa, Agrippa responds with this statement. He says, "In this short time, do you think you can persuade me to be a Christian?" You see, Agrippa knew what people were saying about Christians. He knew that Christians were being persecuted for their name's sake. He knew all of that. And he realized that Paul was trying to get him to teach him the ways of the Christians. And that's why Agrippa said what he did. And Paul responds with this. He says, "Whether in a short time or in a long time, I pray that not only you, but also all who hear me this day may become as I am, a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ." That's our second use. And the third use is in 1 Peter 4:16, where Peter writes, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." And you can put a period on that because that is the last use of the word Christian in the Bible. There's three of them. And you see, what he's telling us, Peter's telling us right there, is that we should not be ashamed as followers of Christ. We should be willing to suffer as a Christian, no matter how that may look. But you see, we've kind of modernized the word Christian, the term Christian, to mean somebody who goes to church on a Sunday morning and walks out the same they were before they came in the building. And that's why I want to charge us this morning to call ourselves disciples. Because the word Christian is used 3 times in the Bible, and the word disciple is used 261 times. And each time it's used, it emphasizes the role of followers of Christ who not only follow, but they learn and imitate his teachings. Right? The term disciple doesn't refer to someone who looks the part, but who fulfills the role that God is calling them into. The word disciple means learner. Somebody who comes in here not to be present, somebody who comes in here to learn the word of God and to carry it out into a lost world that is in need of the gospel. And if y'all don't think this world is in need of the gospel, I don't think y'all really know what y'all are looking at. Guys, this world is searching for something. And we have got the cure for that sin disease. And yet we still keep our mouths shut because we're almost as like we're embarrassed to be disciples of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine the shame that we ignore the shame that we should be feeling for our laziness. Because we are called to be disciples, learners, and imitators of Jesus Christ. And so that's what I want us to look at. This is where the problems arise, is when we become too comfortable thinking that our proper service to God stems from our church attendance, or maybe that Bible verse we stick on Facebook or on whatever kind of social media we have. But like I said, the word disciple means learner, not shower. Someone who is actively learning and putting into practice the things that God desires of them. Not someone who puts on a show for everybody else to see. The word disciple means when no one is looking, what are we focusing on? We got to ask ourselves that question, because it's so much easier to stumble in the dark if we aren't pursuing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is just as present today as he was 2,000 years ago. That's what he said when he left. He said, I'm leaving the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, with you. Guys, we don't realize the power that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to realize that God gives us the same power that raised him from the dead. We have that power living inside of us. So why are we going to sit down on it and confine it to a Sunday morning service? We should carry it out into the world. You see, if we aren't seeking to study and learn his word and how it affects us today, what are we doing as disciples? So for the next few minutes, I want us to look at what we can do to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because James 1:22 tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Mom and Dad are probably tired of me saying this, but it's almost like food, right? If your body was to eat food, just put it in and it just runs right through you, and your body does nothing to work to get the nutrients out of it, you would be malnourished. You'd be weak and you'd be failing. Not because of lack of food, but because you're not getting the nutrients out of it. Guys, we are facing spiritual death today, not because we don't have the spiritual life, but because we're not spending time getting out of it what God desires for us to. And that's where discipleship begins, is with our conversion. You see, conversion is the entrance to discipleship. And I don't want y'all looking at me this morning thinking, oh, we're here in church on a Sunday morning, so you know we're saved, right? I'm here to tell you, there's a bunch of people that are saved who's going to bust the gates of hell wide open because they want to look the part, but they don't want to take on the responsibilities of being a Christian. Or they want to look the part and they don't want to believe in Jesus Christ in their hearts and let him change their life because they love the sin that they're doing, the sin that they're living in. You see, we must have the ability to have a relationship with God in order to become his disciples. Guys, before I get into this, I never want to be accused of preaching the false gospel, because in this world there does exist a false gospel spread by Satan. And this false gospel consists of God is too loving to send us to hell, so do what you want. This false gospel says, do the right things. Go to church on a Sunday morning. Give to the poor. Show up when the doors are open at church, man. Just smile when people see you in Walmart. And this false gospel tells you that you can be saved based on your works. But guys, it doesn't work like that. This is dangerous because, as I said, there are a bunch of good people who are sitting in the front row of hell right now. You see, the people of God, us today, we want to preach, well, not necessarily we want to preach, but we're this culture that we live in wants to preach a tolerant gospel, wants to preach a gospel that says, look, I'm loving you by not calling out your sins. I'm loving you by not telling you you're doing stuff wrong. But guys, we can't preach a tolerant gospel because God isn't tolerant of sin. God's not going to, if you remain in sin, it doesn't matter how plentiful your good deeds are, because they are as filthy rags in his eyes. It's just like the Pharisees, man. They were washing the outside of the cup. They knew the laws. They looked the part. But on the inside, they were just as filthy and unfit to drink from as the lost world out there. And we're living the same way today, guys. We want to look the part, but we're not living the life of a true, devoted follower of Jesus Christ. You see, empty service is a very dangerous game. If you're playing the part, but God is not in your heart, you're playing a dangerous game. Because just as the Bible tells us in Matthew 7:23 and following, he says that there will be many that day, on the day of judgment, there will be many that day who will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, have we not cast out devils? And we've done many wonderful works. And God replies with, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, even if you've been to church all your life, if you've been to the conferences and you've read the books and you've sang the songs and you've done the good deeds, you've studied the Bible. But guys, if you don't plug into the true vine and give your life completely to him, you can't enter the kingdom of God. I want y'all to look at this verse real quick. It says, many will say that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and not cast out devils and done many wonderful works? Right? You've got to look at the Bible to realize you're supposed to do all this. So God isn't speaking to a bunch of atheists in this passage. He's not speaking to people who've never heard the truth. He's talking to people who have heard the truth and played the part, but they have never changed their life. You can't be a disciple unless you are converted from lost to found by the holy and precious God who gave His Son so that we could have salvation and that we could have life abundantly. But you can't continue in your sin and still have that possibility to get to heaven. You can't say, look, man, I know Jesus is Lord, but I'm just going to hold off and not call you my Lord. That way I can keep doing the things I want to do. That way I can keep that contact on my phone that texts me at 1 o'clock in the morning for no reason. That way I can keep that bottle hid away from my parents and away from my wife and my kids. That way I can keep that substance in my life that just gives me so much pleasure. Because guys, if y'all don't know, this world has a bunch of things that bring you temporary pleasure but will bring you everlasting pain. Guys, where sin abides, God cannot. So if you are still choosing to live a life of sin, if you're still choosing to live a life apart from God, you are bound for hell. And there's no church service that will save you. It's a personal commitment you've got to make to trust in God with your whole heart. To let Him be the king of your life. It starts with conversion. Like I said, sin separates us from God. And if you remain in sin, one day you'll be eternally separated from God. So the first key to becoming a disciple, a learner, and a doer of the word is to receive salvation from God. And salvation is more than just saying you believe. Salvation is more than believing itself. You see, that even the devil himself believes in God and he trembles at His name and at His feet. But salvation requires you to place yourself underneath Jesus Christ. To submit to His will for your life. To find your identity in Him alone. Just as the Bible says, those who confess with their mouth and believe in their hearts will be the ones who will be saved. It's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. And if you don't know Him today, I'm telling you, you can't be a disciple. And there's no amount of prayer that we can do that can save you. It's a choice you got to make. I heard a comedian one time. He says, you know, I don't understand why at all these funerals, the preacher, he said, like, for instance, he said he went to one of his cousin's funeral. Said he showed up there and the preacher's up there talking about, oh, he's in heaven right now and there's tear beads running down his face looking down on us how happy he is. And this comedian said, hold on a minute. He said, I know that dude. He said, he died trying to rob a bank. He got shot 19 times. I don't think that's teardrops you see and he ain't looking down. He looking up, that's sweat beads running down his face. That's what that is. We try to soften the blow. And we try to undo us being tolerant for sin by just saying all the right stuff and giving ourselves comfort. Guys, we're not called to live a life of comfort. We're called to live a life of sacrifice. And if y'all don't know, sacrifice isn't comfortable. And we're going to get into that here in a minute, so I've got to be a little careful here. But you have got to give your everything to Jesus Christ and let Him change your life. That's the first step to discipleship. Because there are many people growing old, but who are never growing up in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at this next part, is that of sanctification. Discipleship is a life of sanctification. Now, this is a big churchy word that I really didn't want to use this morning, but we find it in the Bible, so I feel the need to look at it and to break it down. You see, this word sanctification, it means being made like Christ. That's honestly the two steps to being a disciple. You get converted, you give your life to Christ, and you spend the rest of your life being made like Christ. So, as I said, sanctification refers to being set apart for a holy purpose. Let's take a look right quick at John 17. And just to give y'all a little bit of context behind this, because if y'all don't know, well, a huge problem we have facing our world today is that people take so many scriptures out of context. And just like that old saying, it says, I can do all things with a verse of the Bible taken out of context. Guys, there's danger in doing that. There's danger in not looking at what God is trying to tell you in the big picture. So, let's look right quick at John 17. First off, this is the longest, to my knowledge, this is the longest recorded prayer that Jesus has in the Bible. And He offers it to God just before His betrayal, His crucifixion, and His resurrection. So now we know where we're at. Let's pick it up right quick. John 17, 13 through 19. It says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He's praying for His disciples. He says, I've given them that word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified through the truth. The first step in our sanctification is to dive into the Word of God and begin to know who He is. Guys, God gives us His Word as a gift to learn more about Him, to know Him. And as I said, the first step in our journey is to spend time in the Word. Because it's hard to be like Christ if you don't know who He is. Man, the longest distance in this world today is 12 inches, the distance from your head to your heart. I guess that's it. If you got a longer neck, it's probably longer than that. If you got no neck, it's probably shorter than that. But the distance between your head and your heart can be the difference between you going to heaven and you going to hell. Because you can know all about it, but never know Him. That's why conversion is so important. And so, as I said, we have Him in our hearts, and now we've got to grow in our knowledge of Him. We got to spend private time with God. And honestly, this is something Jesus modeled for us, right? That's something we're going to look at is, if we're being sanctified, being made like Christ, we're going to have to do as Christ did. So look at Mark 1:35. We see where Jesus arose long before daylight so that He could spend some quiet time with God. Therefore, if we are followers of Christ, image bearers, people who are striving and who are being made more like Him, we must practice this discipline of daily prayer and daily quality time with God. Guys, it's not about the quantity of the time you spend with God. It's the quality of the time you spend with God. Where's your focus at? And we can spend this quality time with God by journaling, just by prayer, or just by sitting there and being quiet, which is something that this generation don't know how to do. Sit there and not say a word. Sit there and not scroll through your phone for hours. And so guys, my one pet peeve, my one thing I want us to try to do is when we spend time with God, put your phone in another room. Turn the TV off. Put your phone in another room. You don't have to have something in your earbud in your ear all the time to function. I love my sisters to death, but boy howdy. There's sometimes I'll be talking to them, man, I'm just chit-chatting it up. And I look over there and they got an earbud in and they're just sitting over there doing their thing. I'm like, have you heard a word I said? Like, no. I'm like, well, it looks like we got to start over. Take it out, sis. But guys, we got to learn that silence is okay. Meditation is good in our lives, to meditate on Christ and on His Word. And so as I said, put your phone in another room and spend time with God alone, whether it's 10 minutes or whether it's an hour. You can leave your ringer up. If somebody calls, you can go answer the phone. But if you have family there with you, your husband, your wife, or like I said, whatever, if you have somebody there, just leave it with them. They can take care of it for a little while. If there's an emergency, they'll come get a hold of you. Your phone's not the most important thing in your life, just in case you didn't know. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in His Word, coming to know Him. And the reason being is because wherever God has placed you, wherever you are, wherever you serve, a teacher, a father, a mother, a wife, whatever position God has placed you in, you're not made to pour out all the time and never fill back up. God wants to fill you up with His power and His presence, guys, but if you're not spending time with Him, He can't do that because He gives you free will. He gives you the option to spend time with Him. So another step in sanctification is separating yourself from the evil of this world. You look at verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That's John 17:15. Jesus prays that God wouldn't take His disciples from the world altogether, but that He would keep them from the evil that exists in the world. You see, by knowing God, we get a longing to know Him and follow Him more faithfully than we follow anything else. Because even a hobby can become an idol if you try to place it before God Himself. Even your wife can become an idol if you try to place her before yourself. Your children, your whatever it is, fill in the blank. If you're putting it first in your life and you're worshiping that more than you're worshiping God, you're walking a dangerous path, man. And so the only way for us to be separated from the evil in this world is to die to ourselves daily and live for Him. You look at Matthew 16:24 is where Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Guys, if you haven't realized, like I said earlier, this world has some good-looking things to offer us, some things that will bring us temporary pleasure. And you can find it in a group of friends. You can find it in a person, a substance, a bottle, fill in the blank. But if you want true satisfaction, it comes only from Jesus Christ. If you want true sustenance, it comes only from Jesus Christ, the only thing who can give and continue to forever. He's the living water. So if we want to follow Him and get to this place of true satisfaction, we must lose our lives. We must crucify our flesh and follow God wholeheartedly. And notice how I said crucify our flesh. Because it's a long... What comes to y'all's head when y'all think of crucifixion, right? It's not just an easy process, right? There's so much pain, there's so much effort involved to crucify somebody. And that's why we should crucify our flesh, because it doesn't come natural, guys. It's something you've got to work at. To remove those sinful thoughts and ideas from your life so that you can focus wholeheartedly on God. Because that's what we're called to do. To crucify your flesh and follow Him daily. Take up your cross and follow Him daily. We've got to completely get rid of these sinful desires, because as I've said a couple times already, where sin abides, God cannot. So I'm going to just give you all my... I'm trying to do this as fast as I can, guys, but discipleship is such an important thing in our lives. To be able to crucify our flesh, to be able to get rid of these sinful desires, I want y'all to make an effort to remove these things from your lives, to submit completely to God, and to invite accountability in your life. And that's scary, because you're making yourself completely transparent to somebody else. But guys, you've got to have somebody hold you accountable here on this earth. God gives us people for a reason. Not to use and gain pleasure from, but to live alongside. Just as iron sharpens iron, so does one good friend sharpen another. That's what we're called to do, guys. Sharpen each other. Hold each other accountable. And accountability isn't just pointing out the sin in somebody's life. It's also commending them when they're doing good. It's keep on keeping on what you're doing right now, man. You're doing good. And whenever you fall, you're like, man, you've messed up this time, but here, I'm here to help you. I don't want you to remain in sin just as much as you don't want you to remain in sin. So let's do this. Let's get closer to Jesus Christ together, brother. That's what accountability is about. And the last thing about sanctification, it's an ongoing process. Because you will never be perfect this side of heaven, no matter how hard you try. No matter how many books you read, no matter how many sermons you preach or you hear, you'll never be perfect this side of heaven. You see, discipleship begins at conversion. It's not a choice. It's our purpose to be disciples, to be more like Christ, to be learners. And therefore, the last thing I want us to look at this morning is that we are called to be servants. As I said, if we're wanting to be made more like Christ, well, we've got to look at what He teaches. Sanctification, like I said, we're being set apart. And just as this word is used in the Old Testament, guys, we're being made holy. And the Bible commands this of us. He says it, and it's twice in the Bible, guys. It's in the New Testament and the Old Testament. And when these statements like this transcend from Old to New Testament, we need to pay attention. You see, in 1 Peter 1:16 and in Leviticus 11:44, God tells us to be holy because He is holy. This holiness, again, it requires us to be separate from the world, to be in it, but not of it. We're ambassadors for God in this world, to carry His word and to show it to all those around us. But guys, we can never be of the world. We're just in the world. We need to be a beacon of light, a beacon of God's light in this life. And Jesus is holy, as I said, so we should be holy. And so let's look right quick at something. In Mark 10:45 and in Matthew 20:28, Jesus says that He came not to be served, but to serve. So we should be servants, as plain as day right there. We should put others' needs before our own and be servants. And not only did Jesus say this, but He showed it in John 13:1-17. In this passage, again, we're going to look at the context. This passage tells us the story of Jesus at the Last Supper. I'm hoping I'm in the right place. Yep, that's right. Let's see here. Of course, I done lost my spot here. Yeah. This passage tells us the story of Jesus at the Last Supper, where He washes His disciples' feet before they ate. And He said this in verse 15, John 13:15. It says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Therefore, at the core of being a disciple, a follower of Christ, a true born-again believer, perhaps the most fundamental principle for being a disciple apart from salvation is to serve others, to place their needs before your own and do it all because Christ has shown that love to us through his service. That's what our scripture is on this morning, right? But a new command I give unto you, that you love one another as I, this is Jesus speaking, as I have loved you, also love one another. You should also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. How you love tells other people who you serve. So how are you loving today? How do you love? Unconditionally, or because somebody has something to offer you? You see, we should love people because they're made in God's image, and no other reason but that. But so often, we want to love people based off of what we can get from them. Guys, I'm telling you right now, we come and we're living to be servants, not to be served. We should be serving others just as God did. Last, we have the Great Commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. But guys, you can't make disciples if you're not a disciple. And you can't make disciples if you're not willing to go. You see, the word used in the Greek for go in that passage means as you go. We don't have to go far. You just have to go and be his disciples and serve him as you go. Be intentional about sharing the gospel and making disciples. And guys, that's what the heart of discipleship is. It's being saved by God and being transformed into his image. Being called forward and becoming more like him. To be doers and hearers. And as I said, it starts with salvation. Because if you don't know God, you can't begin to follow him and be his disciples. We're called to be learners. So guys, I charge you this morning to pursue him more than you pursue anything else. To follow hard after him. To give your life to him. To separate yourself from the world. And be his servants. And you serve him through serving others. But guys, you got to prioritize your personal life with him. Are you growing? Do you know him? Because it's hard to serve somebody you don't know. So guys, if you've never given your life completely to Jesus Christ, or guys, maybe if you need a reminder of who it is you serve. Guys, I want to tell you all this morning, you serve the God of the universe. Or guys, if you don't serve him, you have the opportunity to. He is calling you to receive salvation from him. And so, guys, I pray that that is what you do before you leave those buildings, because we don't know when we'll draw our last breath. Thank y'all so much for having me this morning. If y'all would, we'll close our head, and I'll close my section with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we come to you today thanking you for who you are, for all that you do in our lives, Lord, right now we come to you thanking you for the opportunity that you give us, that you bless us with, to become your disciples, to be people who are called by your name. But, Lord, I ask you help us to pursue you more than we pursue anything else, to be your servants, to serve you through serving others. God, you are the most holy, the most high God. And I ask, Father, you help us to serve you like we believe that. Help us to know you, to love you more each and every day. And Father, we thank you again for who you are, for all that you do. Father, just keep us away from evil and help us to pursue you. We ask forgiveness of our sins. We love you, and it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.